First Five friend, welcome to the weekend and week two of our MARP study. Today, Joy Williams joins us. And Joy, I have to say, you probably hear this all the time, it's always a joy to have you join us here. Today, she opens her teaching with one of my most favorite gospel stories. And it's even more special since I took a trip to Israel and rode in a boat on the very water where this story took place. And your title, The God Who Cares About Our Chaos, is just so interesting because it's the perfect title for where the disciples found themselves that day and where we sometimes find ourselves. So I am eager to hear what the Lord taught you.
Well, thank you, Wendy, and hello, First Five friend. As we continue in our Mark study, trusting King Jesus as the one who sees you, saves you, and never lets go, I'm drawn to the God who cares about our chaos. And I see this demonstrated near the end of Mark chapter 4. It's a scene filled with turmoil. Jesus had just finished teaching a multitude off the shore of Galilee. Then he gives instructions to his disciples. And in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 and 36, we read, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let's go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. Then he announced to his disciples that they are going to cross over to the other side." Now, at this point in the passage, their journey was pretty uneventful until a great windstorm arose. And I know about sudden storms. And First Five friend, you may know about those sudden storms as well. But I'm not just speaking of the kind that happened when the weather gets rough. I'm talking about times when life feels rough. And I recall the sudden storm of my mother passing unexpectedly years ago. Other times, the torrential rain of fear and frustration just pummeled me as I dealt with a loved one's illness or their addiction. And the wind of adversity almost toppled my faith as my husband and I struggled with infertility. But in those storms, I learned I'd rather be in a boat with Jesus than sitting in my limited understanding. And thankfully, we get the benefit of learning from Mark 4, because when life gets tough, it can be hard to see ourselves getting to the other side. But the God who cares about our chaos invites us to discover more about who he is. And so with waves spilling into the boat and the boat sinking and resurfacing, the disciples panic. Jesus naps. After all, they took him with them just as he was. And in his humanity, after teaching the multitude, it's likely Jesus was exhausted. But even in the storm, Jesus was at peace. And before they left the shore, he declared they were going to the other side. He knew the storm didn't change their destination, but it certainly revealed his followers' hearts. And so, Wendy, what gets your attention about the storm and the disciples' reaction to it?
Oh, Joy, I think what I love most is how human their reaction was, despite all that they had witnessed walking with Jesus, the call he placed on their lives and trusting him with the ministry he was about to do, the miracles they witnessed, the wisdom they'd heard, they still experienced fear and terror. Their minds didn't go to, oh, we're with Jesus, so we don't need to worry, or he can stop the storm in a minute. Scripture says, this is strong. It says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. A storm so mighty and powerful, it flooded the boat. And so immediately they went to terror and fear. But what I love most in this story is that nothing in the mighty storm woke Jesus, right? He slept through it, not the wind or the waves or the water. But what woke him up was their cry, the cry of his closest friends. It reminds me of when my kids were little. If I ever heard them cry, especially in the middle of the night, it moved me to immediately go and see what they needed and how I could relieve what caused their distress. And that is how Jesus loved his disciples.
Oh, wow, that's so good, Wendy. Just a really welcome and needful reminder how our humanity is real and the frailty of our humanity is real. And Jesus is so compassionate when that's expressed by any of us. And yet the disciples weren't just afraid. In this case, they also seemed to doubt God's love for them. Now, they could have said, Lord, the boat is about to sink, or Lord, Matthew is seasick, or Lord, how much longer until we get to the other side? But they said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They accused Jesus, who died so we might have life, of not caring about their lives. And as you mentioned, Wendy, it's with their fear and with their frailty, with these words, Jesus awakens. It's not the noise of the waves or the ferocity of the wind that interrupts his slumber. It's the fear and, yes, the false accusations of his followers. Now, Bible scholar William Barclay noted that the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long at its longest and 8 miles wide at its widest. And at this point, where the infamous boat struggled, it was about 5 miles across. And I think one of the major takeaways from this passage is the importance of not giving up in the middle of life's chaos. It's something a dear friend often says to me when I struggle with difficult circumstances. She'll say, Joy, okay, now let's not give up in the middle. And I so need to hear that. And first, my friend, you might be in the middle of something really hard right now. Perhaps you're wondering if God sees you or if he cares about the chaos around you or the storm raging within you. Well, friend, don't give up. You might be in the middle of caregiving for a loved one or in the middle of a marital or parenting crisis. Maybe you're facing a diagnosis or grieving over a loved one's death or your own shattered dream. But in the midst of what's chaotic, we can all stand amazed by what Jesus does next. He rebukes the wind and quiets the waves, because the God who cares about our chaos offers us his victory. Now, the wind was the reason for the waves. That's the reason why the waves were out of control. And I love knowing that Jesus knows how to deal with what causes a storm and the impact it has on our lives. But it's also interesting to note that the word rebuke that's used in this passage is the same terminology used when Jesus rebuked and silenced demons. It's the Greek word epitomeo. It means to censure severely. So the implication is that the great windstorm was also spiritual warfare. And when life gets hard, the enemy of our soul wants to seize the opportunity to taint the truth about God. And surely, the more frightened the disciples became, the more susceptible they became to the enemy exploiting their weakness and accusing their Savior. No wonder they questioned if Jesus cared about them perishing. But with his sovereign words of authority, Jesus put an end to it all. So yes, the God who cares about our chaos invites us to discover more about who he is, and he offers us his victory. But he also cares about something else. In Mark chapter 4, verses 39 to 41, Jesus said, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And when they were filled with great fear, they said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Yes, friend, the God who cares about our chaos also cares about the condition of our faith. And when we feel vulnerable and lonely or afraid, we can reject thoughts that carry accusations about our Savior. We can turn to God's word to cling to his truth We can connect with another believer who will encourage our faith, and we can pray and receive God's strength. And so when difficulties arise, you might be familiar with a saying that says that sometimes God calms the storm and other times he calms his child. And whatever we sense him doing, we can also be sure of this: Jesus will get us to the other side. And so first five, friend, as you consider today's teaching, also consider a recent or current storm in your life. And what do you need to be reassured of the most about God? Well, every day of my life, I need to know God is with me. I may not know how or when he will deal with the storms in my life, but experiencing his presence, and what I mean by that, his presence is his way of expressing his existence and his commitment to my life. That keeps me aware that he is also my refuge. It also keeps me mindful that God keeps his promises. Thank you so much for listening. And Wendy, now back to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you just for a good word today. I want to thank you for reminding us of this powerful moment in the lives of his disciples. But also, I love the little, I want to call it an insightful nugget into the Greek word that you taught us about. It's always interesting, those little mini lessons, and they increase our understanding of spiritual warfare, which is really, really so important. And so I appreciate that. It's an important reminder for us that we need never fear because we walk with Jesus. His spirit living in us, like inside of us, enables us to trust him in the midst of the fear and help chase that fear away. So thank you. I will close us in prayer. Abba Father, Jehovah Rapha, God, our healer, we come before you today praying against fear. Your word tells us the truth about fear. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound, disciplined mind. We have the mind of Christ. Lord, today, you just moved my heart to pray and declare the following verses, these promises from you over our hearts. Thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us, Deuteronomy 31:6. Thank you that in you we are more than conquerors, Romans 8:3. Thank you that because greater is the one, that's you, Lord, who lives in us, you are greater than the one who lives in the world, 1 John 4:4. Father, you are our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling, we will not fear. Psalm 46:1-3. Though an army encamps against us, our hearts shall not fear. Though war arises around us and against us, we will be confident. For you will hide us in your shelter in the day of trouble. You will conceal us under the cover of your tent. You will lift us high upon a rock. Psalm 27:3. Oh God, yours are words of life and of truth. We speak them into our fears so they replace every negative, fearful, anxious thought. Give us strong, bold, and courageous hearts like you gave Joshua when fear comes near. We put our full trust in you, for you are faithful and true always. We ask this in the name of our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer, Jesus. Amen.